Welcome, everybody. So glad that you're with us. We have been in a series called Practice Meditation and Memorization, and our goal is to be like one of the two characters at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus shares this story and this warning of two different disciples, one foolish, one wise, both of them hearing the teachings of Jesus, but only one putting them into practice. We want to be people who are people not just of hearing, but action. So we want to hear and do. And so that's what these practice series have been all about. It is not about mastering the practices. It's about the practices helping us live out and integrate the life and teaching of Jesus. And so I've been talking about the role of Scripture and specifically the role of meditation and memorization and how that helps us integrate and be a wise follower of Jesus. So today, with my dear friend, Rich Velotis, pastor of New Life Fellowship in Queens, New York, I so love and appreciate your voice to the church in general, but more specifically the voice in our church as an overseer and in my life as a friend. And so thanks for being with us and thanks for taking this time.
Anytime I get time with you, Aaron, it's a gift. So look forward to this conversation.
Thank you. I would love for you just to share and start by talking a little bit about your first experience with maybe the Bible and then specifically in terms of memorization.
Yeah. I became a Christian at 19. In fact, 15 family members came to faith in Jesus on one night. My parents, siblings, cousins, uncles, aunts. And right after coming to Christ, I had a lot of questions about the Bible. And so thankfully, I had my grandfather who lived one block down the street from me in Brooklyn. And I walked into his bedroom and one day just said, "Grandpa, I have lots of questions. Can I ask you about the Bible?" And he asked me to sit down next to him. And about 2 hours later, we were having this ongoing conversation about Scripture, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit.
And you'd never like grown up reading the Bible?
No, or... I mean, as a kid, I went to Sunday school here and there with my aunts, but there was nothing about the Bible that I didn't know anything about the Bible. Okay. And so he would start giving me assignments very early on in this kind of discipleship, conversational mentoring relationship we had. For 8 months, 4 to 5 days a week, 2 to 3 hours each time, we were studying the Bible, talking about spiritual practices. And one of the first assignments he gave me was to memorize Psalms, not just like a verse here or there. He wanted me to take entire Psalms and memorize them. And the thought was, if you can hide the word of God in your heart, if you could chew on the Scriptures in such a way where you can recall it to memory, it's going to really help you in the long run. And so I never forgot the first Psalm he had me memorize was Psalm 27, which has become, in fact, whenever someone asks, you know, what's your life verse? It's usually Psalm 27:4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple."
Okay, now, how long ago did you memorize that?
26 years ago.
26 years ago.
Yeah. And so there are verses like that that I've just had a journey of memorization with. And but that was my grandfather's first initial assignment. Yeah, pray, but I want you to memorize the Scriptures. And that was my first encounter with the Bible in that particular way.
Talk a little bit about, I mean, when you describe not just what you said about memorizing this or that, but several times a week,
yeah,
several hours at a time.
Yeah.
Talk about what was going on in your heart and like,
well, I was so I was awakened. I mean, Jesus had touched my life and I felt hope. I felt joy. I felt a sense of wonder. And I was so hungry. I had never applied myself to anything up to that point. In school, maybe sports was the only thing I applied myself to. But in those conversations, I just found myself, here's a guy, my grandfather was 77 at the time, here's a guy who knows Jesus, who has a life with God, and I want what he has. That was, you know, that's why I was attracted to him in that way. I want what he has. And so, what was going on. It made me, you know, I was hungry. I was open. I was, I think, teachable because of who he was. Mm-hmm. And those 8 months, I can't, in fact, I wish everyone would have that kind of experience like I did. Like the first year of your journey, spend 8 months with someone who really knows Jesus and have unhurried conversations a few times a week.
Beautiful. What a gift.
What a foundation that gave me.
Yeah.
So, I'm grateful.
Before we move on, I want you to talk a little bit about, like you said, I know this about you. You hadn't done well in school.
Yeah.
You hadn't, you know, like you just said, you hadn't applied yourself to things except for sports and girls.
Yeah. That was it.
And so like maybe somebody's like, I'm just not a memorizer.
Yeah.
What's your...
Well, I would say I understand that, and I think memorization is like a muscle. It's you're if you put work into it, and you can figure out various strategies as well. But and we can get to this in a moment, Aaron. But I had a number of our people in our church memorize the Sermon on the Mount, and lots of folks were like, "I know Jesus wept." You know, that's as far as I know in terms of memorizing the Bible. That's an easy one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, God so loved the world. And it surprised me in some ways to see folks who always lamented, I don't have that gift. I don't have a photographic memory, whatever it might be, of people making significant progress. In fact, my son Nathan started memorizing the Beatitudes in 2 weeks because of how much I was reading them out loud in the home there. So I would say for those who feel like it's beyond them, I would say, no, I think God can help you with this. At the same time, you're going to have to put in the work.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing in this respect.
So, of course, the goal isn't like, look how many scriptures I've memorized or checking some box that just, you know, Sunday school kind of I memorize this so I can get my star or candy or whatever.
Yeah.
Talk about what, where this starts. You know, you just quoted something that you memorized 26 years ago.
Yeah.
But talk about like where this comes in. What is it? Where does it come into practice more than just like, I memorized it. You know, I know it a little bit better or whatever.
If the goal is like another religious notch, another accomplishment, it's, I think we're missing what the goal of this is. The goal of this is heightened awareness of God's presence, stability. You know, it's interesting. Psalm 1, you know, the person who meditates on the law both day and night, that person is like a tree planted by rivers of water whose leaf does not wither. You know, whatever they do, they prosper. Psalm 1 is Eugene Peterson writes about this, that it's the, every other psalm is are prayers. Psalm 1 is a statement of human existence. Mm. It's the only psalm that's different than the rest of the 149. And the idea is the person who's rooted and grounded is the person who meditates, memorizes, internalizes the scriptures.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. And that brings to you flourishing, stability, heightened awareness of God's presence in your life. That's the goal. And I experienced that 2013... I had become the new lead pastor of our congregation. And in that season, soon after, had a bout of with lymphatic tuberculosis, where I lost an immense amount of weight. I had swollen glands all over my neck, my body. And my wife was pregnant at the time, new pastor of a church. Experiencing moments of just existential dread, nightmares, can't sleep at night. And I did not have the strength to open up the Bible. I mean, just to open it, those light pages, those like the thin pages of that, anyone can turn those pages. I didn't have the, it felt like I was like lifting a boulder. And even though I didn't have the capacity, the emotional and physical strength to open up the Bible, because I had spent so much time memorizing and internalizing the scriptures, that was what I was calling to mind in those moments of deep agony and stress. And what I found was it was the word of God that sustained me in some beautiful ways. In fact, my life verse as a pastor emerged out of Colossians 1, 17, where Paul says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things are held together. And I realize if Jesus is holding it all together, I don't have to. Mm-hmm. I can't anyway. But it was through that particular passage that I had committed to memory that mm-hmm. once again, God started surprising me with truth, mm-hmm. even though I didn't have the strength to open up my Bible at that time.
Yeah, so good. I can think of experiences in my life. I've talked about anxiety, waking up in the middle of the night. And as famous as it is, but like the Psalm 23 has became an anchoring, like in the middle of the darkness.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything. I've got everything I need.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, he makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters, but then he is with me in the darkest of valleys. Mm. I mean, all those things came to life in more than just like, oh, that's a nice Psalm and that's, you know, just pleasant. It's nice to memorize or whatever. In such a beautiful way, so much so that every night when I would wake up in the middle of the night, riddled with anxiety and fear, I would just start quoting that so slowly as a way of reminding myself.
Yeah. And Aaron, isn't that what Jesus did, you know?
Yeah, right. On the cross. I mean, he's quoting Psalm 22 and so many other times throughout his life, he's memorized scripture.
Yeah. In temptation, he's in the 40 days of fasting and the evil one comes and tempts him and he keeps reciting scripture as a means of pushing back against the evil one there.
Right. In all three, scripture is the defense.
Yes.
Which I love that, you know, scripture as the anchoring point in suffering and the defense.
Yes.
In temptation.
Yes. Beautiful.
I know that you wrote a book recently called The Narrow Path, which you should buy, and about the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
Really beautifully written, but you decided, I'm going to memorize the Sermon on the Mount, which is not short.
Yeah.
It's not a short psalm.
Yep.
It's how many?
About 112 verses.
Three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7.
And it takes, at a decent pace, we're talking about 16 minutes.
To read or quote from beginning to end.
Yeah.
So you decided to do that. So that's a more recent kind of experience. So talk a little bit about memorizing that big of a chunk of scripture. You challenged your church to do the same.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that experience.
You know, I wrote the book and then I thought, and we were going to do a series as well. And I thought, you know, I wonder if part of it was just an experiment. Can I get the church to join me and maybe start with the Beatitudes? Mm-hmm. And I felt God really inviting me, let's go a little bit more than the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. Let's try to cover this whole thing here. And in fact, I was with a pastor had a conversation with him, and he had mentioned to me something he did. So that kind of piqued curiosity in me. And so there was a 4-month period where, and I texted you and some other friends, like, my life with God has become so invigorated because I'm spending every day intentional time in scripture for the sake of memorization and calling it to mind. And so, walking around the house. So I would just say there is something hard to even explain about how the words of Jesus, when repeated on a regular basis and prayed contemplatively, what it does to the soul. Matthew 5, you know, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I mean, over and over again, you start doing the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And then praying those as well. So it's not just a matter of reciting. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of how do I now turn from recitation of the psalm to now praying and allowing these words or the words of Jesus to help me connect with God. And a number of people in our congregation would come. I would say, give me an update every week. How you doing? Mm-hmm. And some would say, I'm up to 6 verses. And I'm like, praise God. That's awesome. One, I'm up to the first chapter. You know, I've never memorized anything in my life before. And I found it was, number one, is a great challenge just for the church and for all of us to say, hey, we can do this together. Mm-hmm. I think it deepened the life of our church and certainly deepened my life as well.
Talk about, I mean, you wrote on prior to memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. You know, it's not like it was an unfamiliar passage.
Yeah.
And you had done some deep study in terms of writing a book on it. Talk about like what else that did, that what came alive or what you tripped over in some ways.
Well, I tripped over the degree of difficulty of the Sermon on the Mount and my need for grace. Mm. The Sermon on the Mount is not just meant to for us to say, wow, look how hard this is. I need God's grace. It's actually for us to begin with, I need God's grace so I can live this thing out. Mm. But I was routinely confronted with what it means to follow Jesus. And so you have heard that it was said, do not murder. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother is already subject to judgment. Anyone that says to a brother, raka, you know, it's like all the stuff here. And so every time I'm reciting it, memorizing it, I start thinking about my own anger, my own judgmentalism against others. And so I think what the words of Jesus did, specifically with the Sermon on the Mount, is it confronted me every day around the gap that exists between who I am right now and what Jesus is inviting me into, which on some levels can be pretty disruptive and disorienting. On another, it helps me to throw myself at the grace of God. Mm-hmm. So I would just say it kept before me what it means to follow Jesus. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is where we have the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. When I got to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, it's like, well, I don't just see that words, I see faces now. Who's trespassed against me? Mm-hmm. Who have I trespassed against? And so back to your point, Aaron, is I think it's very easy. And what is it about us humans, that especially religious folks, that we set the bar as, okay, you know, got it, I memorized it, check, I'm done here. There seems to be, right? Like just this impulse, religious impulse of, I just did the thing, as opposed to integrating, which is, I think, what we're talking about here, not just memorization, but integration.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you think about even the context of Jesus preaching this sermon and ends with not just hearing, but doing.
Right.
And he wasn't asking specifically for memorization, but there were guys, the Pharisees, who had memorized
the first five books in the Bible.
Right. And so just memorizing in and of itself doesn't equal transformation.
Right.
Maybe that's the question.
It's that's like a great one.
What bring, what is, how is there, what are the, how do you cross that gap? Like if you think, okay, memorize, but don't just memorize to memorize, no matter if it's a verse, a chapter, or five books of the Bible, how do you take that road from memorization to transformation?
That's a great question. I think part of it, part of it requires an openness to God, in which I'm asking, is there something you would like to address right now in me? And so as I'm reading the Sermon on the Mount, as I'm reading or calling to memory a psalm, Lord, is there something for this moment today that you'd like me to pay attention to? I know how easy it is not to ask that question. To just go through my religious thing. I just memorized it. I said the prayer. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. I can just pray that, or I can just step back and also say, now, as I go about my day, Lord, what are the temptations that I might be prone to today? Mm-hmm. I think that's when we're able to go from head to heart. Mm-hmm. That's when we're able to go from hearing to doing. I think in large part it is, what kind of space am I creating in my life to actually hear God in this moment? So, memorization can just, and recitation is one directional. And that's a good start. But now, how do I now position myself to hear, Lord, what might you want to be saying to me in this particular moment? That's often gets short-circuited in our times of prayer. Mm-hmm.
I think what you're describing is something that I've noticed about you and loved about you for the entirety of our friendship, is, and what I hear you describing is a slowness, like slow down just a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't make your goal to memorize as fast as you can.
Right.
Maybe you take way, way longer to memorize it, but better to memorize more slowly or for a longer period of time and ask, slow down and ask the question.
Yes.
Where am I tempted?
Yes.
You know, Jesus talks about taking the log out of your own eye in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, where's the log in mine? Mm-hmm. You know, who am I accusing of something or judging somebody of that's a speck, and have I not evaluated my own life? Right. Those types of questions that require us to slow down.
Yes. And I think in some respects, when Jesus has his challenges with the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, I think much of the challenges he had with them was connected to their own inability to have interior examination in light of scripture memorization. And I think that's the connection here. I can memorize it, but then what does interior examination look like applying that to my own life?
If you were to give a question or two as somebody's memorizing, you mentioned one just a moment ago, but maybe unpack that a little bit more. Like, just to slow down, you memorize a verse or your two or a little section or however it is. What questions would you encourage to help with interior examination, not just scripture memorization?
Yeah. I would probably say something to how does this passage, or how might God be inviting me to see others through this passage? How might God be inviting me to see myself in light of this passage? What is a practical next step I can take today? Where can I begin to risk more to live this out? I mean, for me, I think the questions are about the immediacy of following Jesus. We've been talking, I've been reading through the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be doing a series, later on through the Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark is what I call the Gospel for New Yorkers because it's fast moving. Mm-hmm. The word immediately shows up on a regular basis. But there's an urgency and immediacy to Jesus. You know, he calls the disciples and they put down their fishing nets and they follow him. And I think, for me, the question is, for someone who's going from memorization to actually, like, I'm trying to embody this in my life, I can't think theoretically. I have to think, okay, with my children today, how is God calling me to live this out with my children today? How might this passage of scripture, how might God want to use it to shape my marriage? How might God want to use this in my relationship that I have with my roommate, my coworker, my neighbor? It's the immediacy of application.
I love that.
That we're not just thinking theoretically. Mm-hmm. Anybody could think theoretically.
Yeah. I remember one time I was actually preaching on a Sunday on the Beatitudes and I preached the Blessed are the Peacemakers.
Yeah.
And towards the end, I think I gave a moment for thinking about, is there anyone in your life that you need to make an effort to make peace with?
Yeah.
And I'm giving space for the congregation. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me and a name came to mind. And I'm kind of standing there thinking, I don't want to do that.
That's for them, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the pastor.
So I'd love not only the reflection, but the immediacy. Really valuable.
Yes. And I think that's, you know, God's word is daily bread for us.
I did, by the way. Just
God's word is daily. It sustains us, but I think there's a dailiness to how I want to flesh this out in my life. Mm-hmm. That's what comes to mind.
Okay. Well, maybe one last thing. I think, you know, what we're talking about is this memorization that leads to transformation.
Yeah.
Memorization that, and maybe part of the road or journey there is because of internal examination.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit also about meditation.
Yeah.
What does that look like in the midst of this? Because I think memorization in, you know, meditating on, you don't have to memorize to meditate, but it is a form of meditation, right? So maybe end by talking a little bit about that as part of the journey.
Here's what's cool. Back to Psalm 1. The person who is blessed is the person who meditates. Eugene Peterson, one of our favorite pastors, wrote a book called Eat This Book. Mm-hmm. And in that book, he talks about meditation with that word in Psalm 1. And he said that word meditate shows up in Isaiah 26, verse 3, as a lion growls over its prey. And he said that word growl, as a lion is feasting over its mm-hmm. prey, that word growl in Hebrew is the word meditate, the same word in Psalm 1. And then Peterson fleshed it out even further and said, when he saw that phrase, Isaiah 26:3, as a lion growls over its prey, he thought about his dog growling over a bone. And he said what a lion does with its prey, what a dog does with its bone, is what we're to do with Scripture. Mm. So my definition of meditation, in light of putting all that together, is meditation is slowly chewing on God's word until it penetrates your heart. Mm. That's my idea of meditation. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just up here again. Mm-hmm. It's slowly chewing on God's word until it penetrates your heart. And here's the cool thing. We are born to meditate. We were created to meditate. Mm-hmm. We see this when we get a bad email. Our minds go mm-hmm. directly to rehearsing, mm-hmm. chewing on those words. Mm-hmm. So someone sends us an email that criticizes us and we're playing those words over. What are we doing? We're meditating. When Rosie and I first started dating, I took on a date, and the next morning, she sent me a text message, and I had my flip phone. So I pick up my flip phone, and it was something like, "Good morning, handsome." It was something like that. And I was like, what? All day long. "Good morning, handsome." And what did I do the whole day? Flip phone went down, opened it back up again. Good. But I was like, I was meditating over and over. So I'm like, we were made. Mm-hmm. The human brain, the human mind, the human soul. Mm-hmm. Has a capacity. We were created by God to do this. The question is, what are we going to meditate on? That's the question.
I like to say, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate.
That's right.
Right? Worrying is a form of meditation. It's just over the wrong thing.
Perfectly said, Aaron. Perfectly said. So slowly chewing on God's word until it penetrates your heart. And so the hope is that memorization mm-hmm. turns to meditation. Mm-hmm. I think that's the hope. Anyone can memorize. But allowing that to really now penetrate your heart, that's what God is after.
Yeah. So beautiful. Maybe as we finish, I guess maybe first of all, let me ask this question and then I want you to pray first.
Yeah.
If somebody like, where do I start?
Yeah.
How do you encourage somebody like to start here, or how do you figure out what it might be?
You know, I think, I love the Psalms. My grandfather had me do the Psalms.
Yeah, great start.
And it's poetry. So on some level, it lends itself more towards...
It's like memorizing a song.
Yeah, exactly right. And they were set to Psalms. To song. So I would say, you know, start with Psalm 23. You mm-hmm. don't have to use an obscure passage to think you're getting deeper here as a mm-hmm. as a Christian here. Use some of the famous ones. Start with Psalm 23. You know, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and start there. I would also say there, the Sermon on the Mount is a great, the Beatitudes. Don't worry about chapters 5, 6, and 7. Start with "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Blessed are the, start with the words of Jesus. But I would say the Psalms for me would be the starting point mm-hmm. for someone who wants to start memorizing the Bible. And here's my basic tip was this. Everyone has to find their own way. Mm-hmm. But what I found helpful was I carried index cards with me all the time. And here's what, Aaron, in the 4 to 5 months, I think I might have texted this to you. I found myself going after the cards far more than I went after my phone. Mm. So if I'm on a grocery line just mm-hmm. about to check out and there's 3 people ahead of me, I'm used to just taking out my phone and just filling that space there. I found myself looking at those index cards. Mm. It was drawing me closer to God. So I would say there's something about writing it, carry it with you, carry it everywhere. That might be a simple way to get going.
Yeah, Beautiful. Yeah, I think just the only other thing I would add to that regarding what to memorize is you're reading scripture. If there's a passage or a verse or something that sticks out as you're moving along that somehow is significant, like maybe that's something the Lord wants you to, is inviting you to, to meditate on through memorization.
Yes.
Yeah. Love that. Mm-hmm. We pray for us and pray for anybody who's hearing this to experience not just great memorization skills, but really to experience closeness with God and personal transformation through that process and through that exercise.
Yeah. Well, for those listening, would love to pray for you right now. Jesus, you see the hunger that lives in us, the hunger to know you, that deep desire, the deep longing beneath the longings to be more aware of your presence. And so I pray for those listening who have a desire to move more into meditation and memorization of scripture. Number one, that that desire, Lord, would be seen as a gift from you, as a grace. Lord, would you give delight? And when delight is not there, would you give them the grace of discipline to continue to pursue you and the scriptures? And may the words pass through our lives in such a way that when daily troubles come and daily temptations arise and frustrations and conflicts, may it be, Lord, that the first thing that comes to mind are your words, are the scriptures, are the truth of the Holy Bible. And so I pray your blessing over listeners today. Fill them with your life. Fill them with a greater capacity to meditate and to organize their lives around your truth. And so for all these things, I pray your blessing over our listeners today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rich. You're such a gift. And thank you so much for your time and being with us.
Love being here, man.